Welcome to Hollywood Hookups and Breakups. On today's show, we have some divorce dating advice for you if you suddenly find yourself single and you care about Valentine's Day. Although, I don't know that adults really care about Valentine's Day anymore, do they, Vicky?
I think so. I think when people are getting divorced and they're alone, they want to know that they have something to do on that evening, whether it's a date, a friend, you know, family members. At least they want to be out and not be crying with the ice cream bowl in front of them.
That sounds like a good night to me. Okay, well, and we're also going to be talking about some harsh words for Cosby accusers. It seems like the women that stood up for themselves are now being bashed by a fellow comedian, which we're going to get into in just a bit. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Cooper Lawrence, with my co-host, attorney Vicky Ziegler, the star of the Bravo TV hit show, Untying the Knot. Now, wait, before we get started, two things that you guys need to know. Vicky and I both like to have a pen with us. And there is no pen in the studio, but Vicky, being a new mom, was kind enough to hand me a crayon. It is a Crayola crayon. I haven't even seen a crayon. So I'm like, do you have a pen? She's like, no, I have a crayon.
Or I have an eyeliner, so it was either one. Story of my life.
So I'm taking notes with a crayon right here.
Hey, whatever works. We have to be, right? We have to be creative in our lives.
I have raw sienna is what you've given me.
Oh, that's such a sexy sounding crayon. I don't even know about that.
I guess. I don't know. So I don't want to disappoint your daughter, so I'm going to give you a crayon back now that I'm done with it.
Thank you.
And then thing two is, as we were sitting here, Vicky was looking at some of the ratings. Now, I want to know how you find out about ratings on television. You know, as a radio girl for so long, I have a different rating system. I know how to read it. I know where I get the numbers from. I don't really know what goes on in the world of television. So could you explain that?
It is so interesting. Well, you know, luckily we get them from the executives at Bravo. So they do the vetting and they send them to me. But sometimes they don't. Obviously, you know, there's good weeks and then the weeks sometimes that people are away or they're not as good. So my husband is fantastic at finding the ratings, which is funny because I'm nervous because I want them to be good. And I'm so proud of our show and what everyone did to accomplish it. And I just want everyone to see it. And not everyone watches live TV any longer. So,
right. You
know, the live ratings come out from the Nielsen ratings. And then there's the DVRs. There's the plus one, plus three. There's also plus seven. So there's so many things that go into it. I'm still a little confused about it.
What does that mean, plus one, plus three, plus
seven?
Yeah,
so after people DVR it, how long do they actually go and watch it? So there's a days that go by.
Oh.
So they go by that as well. And then there's re-airs. Obviously, the show re-airs a lot during the week. And that necessarily doesn't get taken into consideration with the ratings number. But, you know, I think the network does take a look at that and says, wow, people during the day actually are watching your show, the marathons of the show. So there's a combination of numbers that come into play in a couple different sites that do post the Nielsen ratings as soon as they get them. And then we take a look at them and see the demographic and see how they've increased. And, you know, hope that, you know, everyone is getting to really know that the show's on Monday nights at 10 and starting to be consistent, enjoying it, talking about it on social media. All of these things go into the ratings component.
Well, Vanderpump Rules is your lead in, right?
Yes.
And that's one of the number one. It's a big deal that they put you on after her because I think that's one of their top shows.
Right now it's performing 1.4 million.
Wow.
And they're on a lot on What's Happening Live, which is after my show with Andy Cohen. So a lot of people are looking forward to that after, obviously, you know, it's kind of like we're the Oreo cookie in between.
Right.
Vanderpump Rules is our lead in, then us, Untying the Knot, and then some of the people that come in after us at What's Happening Live.
So are you retaining the audience?
We are. We are retaining the audience. I always want bigger numbers. You know, we've had huge numbers in the beginning, and then they changed our time slot. So, you know, they've rejiggered it. Now I think people are starting to realize that we are consistently on Monday nights at 10 and hoping that we continue to grow valuable and loyal viewers. People really love the show. They've been tweeting, and we always talk about how most of the people really are nice when they're tweeting. And
all of them are. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, it's like it's the most bizarre thing. It's like people find something to hate about everything, really everything. Like if I post, like, oh, I just had the most delicious vanilla ice cream. Vanilla, screw you.
Chocolate.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, they find something negative. You are the only person on Twitter that if I Google you or go to Twitter, it doesn't exist. There are no negative comments. It's so supportive of the community that you've grown here.
I'm trying, and I think people know, Cooper, that I honestly have their best interest, and I don't judge anybody, and I want to help them. So, you know, and plus I was pregnant throughout the season. So, honestly, if you're going to hate on a pregnant woman,
right.
You have serious problems. Listen, you don't have to agree with me, and certain people, you know, give their opinions.
Don't bash the pregnant woman.
No, I mean, you got to be really out of your mind. But I think, you know, for the most part, people look up to me in terms of, you know, I want to be a lawyer. I look at your career. Look what you're doing for people. I admire that. And that I'm humbled by because I love that. I mean, I really just, I want to be a role model for so many people. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, I'm trying to do good in the business. And I'm trying to kind of change the perception of what reality TV actually is.
And how are the ratings?
So they're we're doing well. We always can do better and improve each week. And we had a monster premiere. So, it you know, to come off of, you know, almost a 1.6 million viewing that night and then, you know, changing, you know, we went down and now we're back up again. So,
wow.
You know, and growing. So that I'm really thankful for. And I'm so happy and thankful for everyone that downloads our podcast, that watches Untying the Knot, that, you know, supports you and all of your endeavors. This, obviously, radio show and then everything that you do. And all the books you've written, and I know you're onto more, bigger, and better. So I thank everyone for doing that, and just to keep watching and keep supporting. And you know what? Then the more you watch, the more we'll be back, and the more you'll be able to see more interesting topics.
Thank you for including me. I have nothing to do with Bravo or Untying the Knot, but I like feeling like I've somehow helped you.
Well, yeah, you're part of it. Look, you always promote me. You support me like I support you.
That's true.
And anybody that does, says anything nice, watches this show, supports, talks about it on social media, you know, you have a hand in getting us another season. And if people like it, which they say they do, then you got to keep talking about
right,
it.
Right.
And then we'll be back and you'll continue to learn more.
So some very disturbing news that I wanted to talk about. And we like to have fun and we laugh and we make fun of each other.
Right.
And we're, you know, that's what's kind of gals we are. But once in a while, we have to talk about some serious stuff. And there was an article a couple of weeks ago in The Atlantic that it's interesting. It resonated with people immediately, and then it was like a slow burn because somebody actually sent it to me again this week. It's the kind of thing where it's odd. You ever see this where there's something really big on YouTube and you watch it and you're like, oh, that dog is so funny. And then 6 months later, someone sends you that
right,
dog
they were late
again,
to the party. Yes.
And you're like, and they're like, oh, did you see this dog? It's like, yeah, 6 months ago.
Right, where have you been?
Right. So I think things have a different burn rate when you're talking about the internet. And I think it's because there's just so much information and there's no way that you cognitively can take it all in. So there's certain things that you attend to and certain things you don't. And I think because this Cosby case comes and goes, you know, it's ongoing in their lives, but from a pop culture standpoint, a lifestyle standpoint, I didn't forget about it, but it was like on the cover of New York Magazine, and then we didn't hear very much.
Right, there's an ebb and flow about this case. It comes and goes constantly.
Exactly.
So I don't think it could ever get old or stale because of what's gone on, what's been alleged. So I agree with you.
Right.
It's always going to be a timely topic.
Right. And as of late, we've learned that there are, as we know, there are some people, some girls, that it's not in the statute of limit, still in the statute of limitations, so they can go after Cosby, and that's what's been going on. So as a result, there's an enormous amount of support for him that, to me, is perplexing.
Me too.
Because it's one thing to say, I really love him as a comic, and I support him as a person. I can't believe this is true. But that's not what people are saying. It's like they have to come out, and if you support Cosby, you have to be against women. You've got to be, they have to be quote unquote bitches or hoes or asking for it.
Right.
You know,
crazy.
There has to be some, yeah, exactly. And I feel like, I almost feel like the way the political environment is has set that up for us. You know, you can't just be Democrat, you've got to be anti-Republican.
Right.
You know, so you can't just be supporting Cosby because you grew up with him and he liked his comedy. You've got to be anti these women.
Right, which is so unfortunate. And to me, it defies logic. And I understand that this is a persona. This is somebody on TV. He was like the perfect family man that we all perceived him to be, and he could never have done this. And how can he lure people at the studio and in his house and at other people's homes? And how is this possible? And quite frankly, I'm shocked at some of the places that these allegations were alleged to have happened at. But at the end of the day, you can't have a cumulus of women making these allegations that are false. It doesn't happen this way. Nobody has an axe to grind against a man that's, how old is he, in his 70s?
Right.
I mean, it just doesn't make sense. And
I think isn't he like 80?
He looks like it. I don't know. I think he's definitely, obviously, in his at least at late 70s.
I love that we don't know how old he is. Like, all this stuff, like it's all anyone's been talking about is Bill Cosby.
Right, but he just, I think he's in his 70s. I'm going to go with that. But you'll confirm that, you know, while we're talking. And I think that
78.
Oh, look at that. Bing, 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 bo. So I think at the end of the day, for us, The question becomes, you look at a man like this.
Wait, I'm sorry. You know when you go to Google, you Google somebody, you say like Bill Cosby age, and it comes up and it says 78, July 12, 1937. And then they give you people they also are associated with. Uh-huh. So it says people also search for, and it's logical people. It's like Raven Simone and Camille Cosby, his wife, and Felicia Rashad. Then out of nowhere, Donald Trump. Somehow
that connection and Google.
Somehow Google has decided that Donald Trump and Bill 78. Cosby are connected.
That's funny. Yeah, I wouldn't know how that would be, how those two would be connected.
I don't know. I don't want to know. It's really the thing. So you were saying.
Yeah, so I think, you know, people, the perception of somebody that has this level of success in the TV industry couldn't do this. But I think people have to realize, number one, you don't really know people. And number two, the egregious allegations of what he's done and drugged these women and, you know, that they didn't have, they had memory loss, that they were afraid to go up against Goliath. And just because they hadn't said anything for so long that they, you know, are dumb bitches and that these accusers couldn't be telling the truth, you know, to come out and say those, to make those staunch statements, I think, you know, is inappropriate, and I think it's egregious, and I also think
it's more than inappropriate, it's insulting. And before we get into the comedian that said it and the repercussions and all that, you know, when you think about it, it's not like it's one accuser who's come forward and it's her word against his, and you're like, no, I support Bill Cosby. This is so many women at this point over decades, and they have a similar story over and over and over.
Cookie cutter.
That there's anyone who says that Bill Cosby is not a rapist, how what's wrong with your brain?
Right, well, because you believe he's this warm and fuzzy guy that you perceived doesn't mean anything. People, I think their line of perception is so blurred.
Listen, I love Michael Jackson, and I don't want to believe that he's a pedophile or molested anybody, and it really is kind of two kids, and one of the kids we found out later through many, many books that have been written about this, that that the father went to an attorney before he went to the police, and that they came up with a whole scheme and everything. So it seems like that they made it up, you know, and then there's a second kid that also is admitted that he kind of made it up.
Right.
You know? So for people that really love Michael Jackson that didn't want to believe this, there's enough evidence for you to go, you know what, it isn't true. And these people were exploiting him, and he is the wonderful, great weirdo that you thought. I mean, he's a weirdo, so he's more of a target.
But there wasn't 25 boys.
Bill Cosby is not a weirdo also.
He looks very strange,
he's not like a famous weirdo. You know, the fact that Michael Jackson had
eclectic behaviors.
His friends were children. Remember, he was friends with Emil, the little guy, Webster, and he was friends with...
He had a tiger on his property.
Right, tiger, he had Bubbles, the chimp. And, you know, he just has this weird life in that we see him sleeping in the sleep chamber.
Yeah.
So there's enough things about him that make us go, he's a freaking whack job.
Right.
But we don't have that with Bill Cosby because for many years he was this father figure. He was selling us something wholesome like Jell-O pudding pops.
Right.
And he came across as somebody, like, he really put one over on us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the bigger lesson here is that is what a sexual offender looks. That's what a rapist looks like.
He has an illness and a master manipulator, and those people are disguised in all forms and walks of life.
Right, right.
And that's what's so scary.
Exactly. And so the article we're referring to is, so it's made a resurgence again. It was a couple of weeks ago. It was published in The Atlantic, and people were tweeting it out and sharing it and all that. And now, I guess because there's some renewed interest in the Bill Cosby case this week, people are talking about it again. Mm-hmm. This article has resurfaced, and it's written by Ta-Nehisi Coates, as you know, the author of Between the World and Me. Mm-hmm. You know, that whole the whole book was like a letter to his son. Beautiful, really well written. He's just amazing and such a genius. So he wrote this article for The Atlantic, and he's talking about how long before the Black Lives Matter movement, African Americans grappled with. Are you going to sneeze? Is that a sneeze face? Okay, you looked at me funny. I was like, is there a sneeze coming?
I was fighting a yawn, and it had nothing to do with you. It's just lack of sleep with a six-month-old.
Jesus, if you're yawning, I can't
Oh, no, this is intriguing.
Okay.
That's why I was trying to fight it, because I didn't want you to think it had anything to do with you. It's poor Sophie and poor mommy.
You know, it's funny. When I see you, and you're so, like, vibrant, you get your makeup on, you cute little dress, and you came from work, I forget that you're up with a six-month-old.
Yeah. I just go on and go on and go on, and you never stop. It's okay. It's great. It's fantastic.
Amazing.
That's, yeah. yeah, listen, you know, it's the joy of life and the journey and passion, and I'm hungry, so, you know, in all aspects of my life. So,
okay, that's good.
And happy to be with you.
So, anyway, going back to this Ta-Nehisi Coates article for The Atlantic, which is fascinating. So he's reacting, basically, he goes through the whole, like, fiction of what we've come to realize. He's equating the Black Lives Matter movement with what's going on with Bill Cosby and kind of the tone it sets for discrimination. And it's a really, really cohesive argument, but it's all leading up to the fact that a couple of weeks ago, comedian Eddie Griffin was asked about the sexual accusations made against Bill Cosby. I don't know why they would ask Eddie Griffin about this.
Yeah, this is a strange person to comment.
I mean, he doesn't strike me as a very smart person.
No, don't know too much about him. And, you know, what does a comedian know? Is he best friends with him? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense, the correlation, but okay.
But I think asking him is racist because it says you're black,
right,
you're
a comic, bias.
You must have an opinion mm-hmm. about Bill Cosby. Mm-hmm. So that already, I'm already not interested in the question or the questioner.
Or the answer.
Like, don't, yeah. Or the answer. So he responds by saying, did he rape these bitches? All of them said the same thing. We went to the room. Why would you go to the room of a known married man? That was his response, Griffin's response. And then he says, 30 years, I don't understand that. That's like a motherfucker robbing me, and I wait 30 years to call the police. So as listeners, I'm sure right now you're forming in your head what probably Ta-Nehisi Coates says in this article, that there's so many problems with this, the idea of calling these rape victims bitches.
Mm-hmm.
And assuming that because one woman went to his hotel room, mm-hmm. that is the case. What we've learned, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. He assaulted women not merely in hotel rooms, but at his own home, at a celebrity tennis tournament, backstage at a show in Las Vegas, backstage at The Tonight Show, and on the set of The Cosby Show. And this kind of stuff, according to Coates, and he's right, it's not hard to know this. 2 minutes of Googling will suffice. Mm-hmm. That's what he says.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes into the cunning narrative bitches. That whole idea of calling a woman, the Cosby accusers are bitches, you know, it's beyond misogynistic. It's mm-hmm. beyond insulting. It's a whole other level of sexism and misogyny that I'm speechless when I mm-hmm. read that.
There's a pit in my stomach. Reading it and coming from an unbiased position, it's almost like a girl goes out with a shorter skirt, she goes to a bar and she gets raped and you say she was asking for it. You know, those kind
of... Same concept,
right?
Yeah.
I feel like if, God forbid, Eddie Griffin had a daughter and she was one of the people that Bill Cosby drugged,
right.
I don't think he would ever reiterate the fact that these are bitches, quote unquote, and they asked for it because one woman went to his room, and you don't know why she was lulled into it, while she was, you know, manipulated to come in. He always was trying to, I read that he was trying to always, you know, taunt women and try to help them with their careers and say they were nobody without him and all of the things that he would want to do for them, and then he would drug them and then he would rape and molest them.
Right.
So, I think this is very, very disrespectful, and I also think that Eddie, who's, you know, a known person, I think a known person in the industry.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't want the opinion of the star of Undercover Brother and Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo? Like, please let me know what this motherfucker thinks. Like, I really care what this stupid asshole thinks about Bill Cosby and women and rape.
Right.
Like, I mean, I feel like, see, here's the thing that bothers me, and Coates doesn't go into this part of it, and this is where I would like to see a continuation of this article.
Mm-hmm.
This sort of complicity,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think that's really the point of the article,
right.
that it's not just Bill Cosby, it's the people who are supporting him in a way to basically victimize these women further.
Mm-hmm. And devalue their positions.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. And not just anybody. It's not like, you know, great scholars are coming forward and saying, we support Cosby. This is some fucking moron
right.
who's done some C to D level movies,
mm-hmm.
who's coming out and giving his opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That's the really egregious part of it for me.
Right.
It's like you're some nobody who somehow has a career
right.
and is very lucky to have a career, yet you feel it's your duty to come forward and say all these negative things about all of these rape victims. What he should have said is, I'm a comic, I'm an actor,
mm-hmm.
I don't ask me about comedy, ask me about movies, ask me what I think of the latest film that Eddie Murphy's working on. Like, right. ask me that.
Right.
But to ask me something about rape and rape culture.
Right, that you know nothing about, your family hasn't gone through, and to equate it to saying, if I got robbed, I mean, of course I'd call the police. I wouldn't wait 30 years later. Well, right. these women were very courageous. A lot of them didn't even remember what happened and had to go through years of therapy. This is such a sensitive subject. And you know what? He doesn't know their stories and their plight. So it was, I think, irresponsible at a minimum to speak about these women and to call them bitches. And
By saying that they all went to the hotel room with him, when that was like two of them.
Do your
so
research.
You don't even know what you're talking about. Right. So you should say, you know what? This is too hot a topic. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm some two-bit comic.
Right.
You know, and I'd love to say, let's call for a ban of his movies, but I think the public has done that for us, because I don't know that Eddie Griffin is doing so well in his career anyway.
Yeah, I personally can't, you know, if I close my eyes, unless I researched him, I really wouldn't know who he is. And quite frankly, I wouldn't support him in the future, because I don't like what he said, and I think it's disrespectful.
Right.
And I'm telling you, if people have more things happen to them, they wouldn't be speaking out of school. And I think he just doesn't understand the level of sexualization that has occurred with these women, and the possibility that there are more women that Bill Cosby has possibly molested, drugged, and he didn't have the courage to actually rape women. He had to do it when they were out, and that's more disgusting.
Well, I think that's his thing.
Right, but still, that's disgusting. To me, rape, regardless of anybody trying to do anything to anybody that they don't consent to, is one thing, and it's horrific. But to actually drug them because you're so afraid, perhaps of the response, the rejection, forget about the fact that you're married and these women are not consenting. I mean, it's a whole different ballgame. I mean, there's a real illness here, and I'm sure it was a game, and I'm sure it was part sexual, but regardless, it's disgusting, and it's I'm just happy that he one day will come to justice for the things that he has done, and he lives to tell.
Yeah, he's already come to justice in the public. I mean, I think that it's really damaged his legacy, and I'm so happy that these women did finally come forward.
But not
and
enough.
Courage to. But the thing is, I don't think this was a game for him. I don't think it was something that he was playing at, or that he was. To me, I think he enjoys having sex with women that are passed out. So he had to cause them to be passed out, so then he can enjoy. It's like a fetish,
right.
in a way, and that's not excusing it, because it's a sick fetish.
Sure.
It's like people that, you know, enjoy stabbing people and murdering them. You know, I wouldn't call that a fetish, but it's like, it's that's what murderers are into. This is what this type of rapist is into.
So scary. Imagine being his wife. By the way,
well, she's in such denial about this. That's the thing that I don't understand.
Like, honey, you got to be like, girls, I got you. I hear you. This can't be made up.
Right.
This can't be fake. And you know what? Kick to the curb. Get out. Who knows what he's done to her? Not even drugged her. It could have been other things. I mean, this is a sick guy.
Put yourself in her shoes for a second. Mm-hmm. If I told you something very shocking about your husband,
mm-hmm.
and 18 more women, 20 more women, 30 more women came forward and told you the exact same thing, your husband, the way you know him now, the relationship you have with him, would you be able to get your mind around the fact that he does like peanut butter on his broccoli?
I think
he eats peanut butter and broccoli. He just does.
You vet, you investigate, and then you make an informed decision. You don't ignore and don't pretend it doesn't exist. And that's what's happening. Or maybe he threatened her. Maybe he said to her, don't you dare leave me. If you leave me, you don't?
I mean, maybe he has said that to her. Maybe, for all we know, he abuses her, and this is part of his abuse.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way she talks. She talks like women who have been abused. Mm-hmm. So that's why I will agree with you on that. It wouldn't surprise me if I learned that. But I think about, you know, she's 71. Where's she going? Who's dating her? She feels like this has been her life. She's put all in all these years. It's hard to walk away. And I think that even if it's true, and even if she's suspected it all mm-hmm. these years, or whatever excuse he's given her, I would find it hard to walk away from my boyfriend. We've only been together mm-hmm. 6 years.
All right, so I'm different. It's stand up for a cause. I'm not saying it's difficult. I'm not saying she's going to go out and have sex every other day and find another mate. Maybe that's not what she wants at 71 years old. But you show women, you show your children, you show women okay, and your family across the country that it's not okay and you're going to stand up and you can live with the enemy for so long. Right. I feel differently. And I think that with support around you, you can do anything. And I don't care how old you are. I represented several people in their 80s going through divorces.
Wow.
And it's called the Gray Divorce. And for me, I supported them as difficult as it was. One man was being abused physically by his wife. He was in a wheelchair. And I represented him. And I made him a promise that I would get him out of the marriage. And he, unfortunately, I did. And he died shortly thereafter. But I find it difficult. You don't know what people are going through. And some people have had enough. And emotional and physical abuse is unacceptable on any level. So for me, I don't care how old you are. You still have zest for life. In, you know, people are living to their 90s and still driving. I mean, go to Florida, for God's sakes. So I feel like it's never too late. I understand how people may
feel.
Just say,
go to Florida, I'll meet somebody.
Oh, you'd be scooped up by a millionaire, bazillionaire, and quite frankly, Mrs. Cosby would be too.
Wait, why should I wait then?
Because you got a great boyfriend who supports you and says nice things to you.
Oh, yeah, that's right, I forgot.
So I disagree. I feel like anyone can get out of any bad situation with some help and guidance, and I think she should be running, not walking, out of that marriage, and I think she's in fear.
But she doesn't see the Bill Cosby as a race. She doesn't see the Bill Cosby the rest of us see. She doesn't see him, and I'm not defending her. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to understand how this woman, the minute the 10th victim came forward, she didn't go, I'm out of here, fuck you, call Gloria Allred and say, I'm on your side, let me tell you some stuff you don't know, mm-hmm. and start testifying against him. Like, how did she not do that? So I'm trying to kind of get my mind around it to see how, okay, let's say she's totally anti-feminist. Let's say that at her house it's 1950 mm-hmm. and she caters to him. Then I think about every time I watch all my ID channel shows and they have the wife at home with the two kids. And then you find out that the husband is a serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't come home with blood on his clothes with a knife in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
He comes home and he's the loving husband that she knows.
You don't know if he's a loving husband. I'm going to suspect he's not.
No, that's what I mean. I think people that have that type of real psychosis
step it up at home and try.
They're split personality almost. I think the person Bill Cosby is at home mm-hmm. to her. Well, I think that he abuses her just because mm-hmm. of the way she speaks. But that's just my opinion.
We don't have any facts.
No facts whatsoever. I wouldn't be surprised if I heard that.
Right.
But like the serial killer guys, when they come home.
Right. Everything's fine and dandy.
Yeah.
And yeah, I see that. And I think, you know, we don't know. And if she doesn't speak, we'll never know. I'm going to make the assumption doesn't look like a warm and fuzzy guy.
No.
Probably an egomaniac, perhaps a sociopath, and definitely a narcissist. So I'm going to go with all your, your fabulous terms because you're the resident psych here. But I definitely think, and you know what? She may have walked in. She may have seen things. You don't know what this woman knows.
You don't think he's drugged her and has sex with her while she's out? You don't think that's something that they play at home? I bet they do.
I'm sure he can't control himself. Unless she's old news to him. It's old hat and they haven't had sex in decades. Who knows? I mean, this was a long time ago, right? These allegations. So
yeah.
I don't know. It was in his height of his sexual libido, but I'm sure he probably, you know, that's not happening anymore. But who knows? Who knows? He had the power. He had the greed. He had the brass balls to do this to women. I mean, it is so scary and despicable. It's like, you know, when we're younger and you go to bars, my mom used to say, make sure you don't leave your drink out because they're going to, you know, roofie.
Spike it, right.
And I think it happened to me once. But this is scary stuff. And you know what? He should pay for everything that he did if, in fact, it's proven.
So how can he pay if the statute of limitations has run out on a lot of this?
Well, the other ones, the ones that have run, there's really not much you can do. The ones that haven't can take it to court. And ultimately, if he's convicted, he'll go to jail. And he should be in jail. And he should die in jail if these allegations are proven by some of the women that are still pending and have the ability from a legal perspective to file.
How do you prove that, though? Because it's one thing if they roofie you and you go the mm-hmm. next morning and have a blood test and it's still in your system. But how do you prove it months later, years later? Like, what kind of, other than like
testimony, credibility, it's going to be he said, she said, they pile on. done. They have the same story. What was done? I was one minute I'm sitting there. The next minute he gives me a drink. The next minute I'm out, half clothed. Some of the women would wake up during it. Can you ID some body parts, some sexual specifics that are on his body that are not on other people? Those are the things for the sex crimes unit that they focus on. If they don't have any physical evidence, there can be circumstantial evidence, and it's testimony. If they don't have any doctor's reports and they don't have medical condition, they don't have obviously anything to test. It's all about credibility. But these women's stories are so similar.
Can you bring in, so if let's say my statute of limitations has not run out, mm-hmm. and I'm not just accusing Cosby, but I want him in jail, so I'm going to start the proceedings. Gloria Allred and I have a whole case planned out. Yeah. Can I bring in some of the women whose statute of limitations have run out mm-hmm. as witnesses?
To corroborate what they've gone through. The other side will definitely object to it. And the question is, will the judge let in their testimony or not? Is it relevant? Are they relevant witnesses? And are they fact witnesses? What kind of witnesses are there? So this would be very interesting to see if they would. They can definitely be deposed and try to bring in their testimony that way at trial. Again, you'd have to create that fact pattern of that historical recidivist, that behavior that he's had. So, I don't know. I don't know what would happen. It would be very interesting. It would probably be a first.
And would this have to be a bench trial? Because there's no way that a jury can decide this, because everybody has an opinion already.
Well, it would have to be a jury trial if it's a criminal case. You couldn't allow just a judge.
How do you find a jury?
You'd have to. Anybody, there's a way to find it. Look, O.J. Simpson, forget about what happened there, but they still had a jury.
Right.
And that's the right of the accuser to be heard by a peer, a jury of his peers. And they would have to find people. And they would voir dire hundreds and thousands of people until they got what they believed as an impartial group of people in the community.
But then you get someone like me who is a real feminist, vehemently against.
Well, you'd be kicked off immediately.
No. See, I'm smart. I would go and
you'd fake
like
it?
Okay, so you're an attorney and you're going to let's do voir dire right now. Right. What kind of questions would you ask me?
Right. So what's your political beliefs?
I'm not really very political.
Mm-hmm. So have you read about the Cosby case?
I've seen it here and there. I don't mm-hmm. I don't really, I mean, I'm embarrassed to say, but I don't really read the paper very much.
You're cute. Or what do you do for a living?
I'm in radio.
Have you ever talked about it on your podcast?
I'd have to go back and check. Maybe, mm-hmm. if it's come up, I mm-hmm. might have. I can't say that I remember that.
So that's what we do. So we question.
See, I'm good, right?
Yeah, you're a good liar.
See?
but again, it's a testing the credibility. It's what your answers are. And then and just really that gut visceral. So I worked at a criminal firm. And
did you notice that I couldn't look at you, though?
Yeah, of course. I knew you were lying. But I'm just a kind of a good judge of character. But I think, there are certain people that can get away with it. Some people can't. It really depends. It's got to be your gut visceral. So these criminals.
Oh, you know what I forgot to do? You're supposed to squeeze your butt.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, you're supposed to do Kegels and squeeze your butt because you're supposed to be able to lie. They say that if you get a lie detector test and they ask you a question you're about to lie about, you're supposed to squeeze your butt and it helps you.
Oh, interesting.
It shuts off whatever. Yeah, I don't know what the scientific reason, but that's what they say that you do. Ask me again. Let me squeeze my butt. Now ask me.
No, my God, that's hysterical. I never heard that before. But hey, note to self, I'll take note of that. So criminal attorneys have it tough because really, you never know what kind of jury you're going to get.
Right.
And you try to have all these techniques. But at the end of the day, you really don't know if people are telling the truth or not. So somebody like you can get on a panel, on a jury panel, and then all of a sudden be like, listen, he's guilty. I don't care what the evidence says. Some people try to be impartial, but it's a tough one. But I think he needs to.
I would hang that fucking jury so fast. if they tried, if I had a jury who was like, it's not really beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
I think we're going to have to find
I'd
be
out.
I'd be the holdout.
Oh, sure.
You'd have to ask for 18 mistrial. I would not. You couldn't budge me.
Well, I can't wait for another podcast so I can talk to you about my top two craziest stories about some of the things that I've seen in my job and my business as a divorce attorney, without giving names, of course, and not talking about anything that is not that's private. But there's some public things that I can kind of share. And one story in particular that is really near and dear to my heart that was just a terrible circumstance for somebody that I represented. And you'd see people go to really large lengths to fraudulently pretend that they're somebody that they're not.
Wow. And okay, so that's a good tease for next week.
There's a lot to talk about.
Okay, good. Thank you so much. All right, we're going to leave it there. Thank you for listening to Hollywood Hookups and Breakups with Cooper and Vicky. You can email us your thoughts and questions at HollywoodHookupsBreakups@gmail.com. Thank you to Blog Talk Radio for making all of this possible. Thank you for listening. And look, if you like this podcast, and we hope you do, please tell people, because first of all, it's free. And without you guys spreading the word, we are just two idiots in a room talking to each other. So we'd love if you like the podcast, let people know. I'm on Twitter. Vicky's on Twitter, Facebook, you know, all the social media stuff. Watch Untying the Knot on Bravo Mondays at 10. Vicky and I are back next week with another exciting episode of Hollywood Hookups and Breakups. Thank you for downloading.